butthole.
I haven't said that, like, when they have the cutaways, oh my god, look what we found. And they have that cutaway, and then I always want them to come back, just
boning each other.
You ever seen Toy Hunter?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedigogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we're frightened. I'm just kidding. We're flattered to have
Why
some...
Why frightened?
I don't know, man. These are international gifts from our international fan, Ryan
Super
Timothy
fan.
Brace, that we're going to open later on in this show. We're really excited about that. But we're also happy campers to be talking about what today?
Our three topics today is topic number one, tell us about your best and or worst times with roommates. Topic number two, what or who is your favorite artist from your least favorite style of music? And topic number three, if you could swap bodies with one person, who would it be?
And we are pleased as punch to have local radio personality and close personal friend and fellow patent file. Mike Patton Freak, Patton Belia.
Fellow SAC alum.
SAC alum. And first time on the podcast, which we've been trying to work this out for a while, Mr. Chuck Vans. Chuck, how's it going?
Oh, it is going great. And, you know, it's been a long time, you know, till you finally got me on. Your people talk to my people. Contractually.
Yeah, a lot of red tape we had.
Lots of red tape. Local radio personality.
Radio.
So, you know, hit scan on your radios right now and listen to this voice.
And the blowtorch is 100,000 watts. That it is.
Yeah. So if you hear that voice, you're going to be like,
Texas.
Boo. Now, Chuck Vans is his real name, and I'm not going to say what your radio name is, but it rhymes with Malila in the morning.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. No?
What?
You're not Delilah? No?
God damn it.
I do play easy listening.
Fuck yeah, you do, man. Yeah. It's all you fucking play.
Easy listening to turn off.
Fucking, so dude, sacked. Now we've known each other, 15 years?
Something good like God. That. Don't say stuff like that.
Did I just
that.
Fuck your 15, lives up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the gray hairs on the side of my head didn't, thanks.
Good Lord.
Fucking went to SAC together, RTVF, in the field now, dude. What's been going on, man? How are you?
Working, doing the quote-unquote radio thing. Being a dad.
That's awesome. Now, our daughters are the same age, right?
I believe so. She's 8.
She's 8. Oh, yeah, eight? Mikey's 9.
Yeah.
They hung out at fucking Payless.
You got it in about 9 to 12 months before I did.
That's right. I was like, you know what? Let me do this first so I can show Chuck how to do it. And we're in the.
And I still did it. Jeez.
We're in the Blasted It Club. And above all else, besides the radio personality stuff, you work your fucking ass off to get at the level you are. And congratulations on that. Sincerely.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Working from promotions now to the personality. What?
Intern.
Intern.
Wow.
Oh, shit. That's
intern,
right.
Yeah. Intern from when I was at SAC.
Okay.
To getting a job in promotions, to doing engineering stuff, to doing board op stuff. Into the big time.
Dude, that is awesome.
That's fucking...
That's cool as hell.
Metal as fuck.
So the dream is out there for you.
Yeah.
You hear that, kids listening?
You hear that, you lazy pricks out there that night?
Hey!
I can't do anything!
No, it sucks, man. All you got me doing is fucking rewinding tapes, man.
The more you do, the more you get to do.
That's right.
And all we did at SAC was stand outside, smoke cigarettes.
Yep. With John Onderdonk.
A.K.A. Paul Hogan.
Yeah, now he's Paul Hogan.
AKA, now he's
back then Ned Beatty, dude.
Back then, he was...
Not Ned Beatty, Ed Begley.
Ned Beatty Jr. Ed Begley Jr.
Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, I called him Ned Beatty and he was all like, fuck you. But I was like, oh no, that's a different Deliverance. Yeah, Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah.
From She-Devil.
And I remember how we talked about, because then the rumor at that time, I'm not going to say what year it was, but the rumor was Phil Anselmo was gay.
Yes.
And we always made up the classic one-liners of how he put subliminal messages in all his songs.
about his gay. That's how me and Chuck fucking bonded.
That's how we...
it's 5 minutes alone. I love it in the pooper.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
This next one's called Losing All. I love sucking hot cock.
And I think all the Pantera and Down fans are kind of like, huh? Did he just say, yeah!
I think when I saw you at that Down show,
you hooked it up at the Down show.
And I think he may have made a reference.
Yeah. It was only like the Down. All right. For those of you guys that don't know, Phil Anselmo has a bunch of side projects, just like Mike Patton does. Obviously, you guys know who Mike
Patton is. Phil Anselmo was the lead singer of Pantera.
And now,
to go even further, mm-hmm. step up people.
Know so he has a really badass.
Yeah.
It was the Roman soldier who raped the Virgin Mary and is the father of Christ.
Thank you.
That's real.
Yeah. Catholic school, baby.
That's right. And it was the same night that Tool was at like Freeman Coliseum, which is the big Coliseum where the mm-hmm. medium Coliseum here in town. And so the station was giving away Down tickets, and I went, I played the game. You told me where they were. I won. I go, and there was what, like 50 people?
Yeah, there wasn't that many there,
but it was fucking awesome because it felt like a private show. Wow. You know, it was great, and me and Phil.
But what kind of show was it? Was it like a album listening thing or whatever?
No, it was the band. It was a concert.
Wow.
They were on tour. Wow. I think it was for Down 3,
their
third record.
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
Okay.
The song about ice cream. They ice cream. Be like, yeah, I like ice cream too. They had no opening act. They just had videos of like Thin Lizzy and Kiss and AC/DC and like all these bands and shit like that. It was cool. And then they played for like an hour and a half. And Phil Anselmo was just nodding to everybody. It was the nodding tour. You know, I had like a fucking ministry shirt, and he looked at me and he's like, yeah.
That's all I get. Guy in a meatball sub, he's like, yeah.
But with all the jobs that you've had on the radio, just in general, what's the fucking craziest thing that's happened?
I will tell you, when I was working promotions, we would do remotes at the various ladies clubs, strip clubs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And when we were there, nobody gave a fuck that we were there. We're going to look at the hot naked chicks, or we're going to talk to the asshole radio guys.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No. So we're sitting there and blah, blah, blah. And I'm watching this chick dance, and she comes off stage, puts her bikini, I guess.
Her clothes.
Some sort of clothing apparatus on. She's like, hey, what can you give me for free? And I was like, well, chlamydia. You know, we're only
damn it.
Well, she has it. She's like,
she's like, I already got that. Like, three times.
I got two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. But she was like, well, what can you give me for free? And I was like, well, they're for the customers, the prizes are, but if you come back at 11 when we're done, I'll see what we have. I'll give you something. She's like, I'll show you my tits. And I was like, I literally just saw them 2 minutes ago, about 10 feet from me. She got so pissed and just walked off.
Didn't think that one through, did you, lady?
What a fucking dumb thing.
That is really, wow, that's awesome.
It's like, I literally just saw them right there.
You have no currency here. Like,
why buy the cow when
you're going to be on stage in 3 minutes? When you're on stage 3 in 2 minutes.
I'll show you my tits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's an idiocracy set up. Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And the best part was I saw them off somebody else's dime because they were up there getting a dance.
Exactly. It's a win-win situation. Did she come back at 11?
No.
She was angry.
I know. I don't care.
Yeah. Either that or she was doing lines in the
back. Yeah, exactly. Probably. She forgot.
Yeah. That beer koozie or bottle opener just wasn't worth it.
No, fuck that, dude. It was worth it to her.
All right.
She gets a t-shirt from the station, and then she tells her friends, like, yeah, you know, like, I work for the station.
Got me.
Have you ever got to shoot a t-shirt gun?
I have not.
Damn.
Oh, how do we get
I've wanted to.
I'd want to fucking Maud Flanders somebody if I had a
t-shirt.
Like, kill. Eight of them in there?
Exactly.
Who wants it? And then the little tank crank it, spinal tap it up to 11.
Yes. I would fucking American Sniper some people with a fucking t-shirt gun, dude. Just lie about all the people that I... pit with my t-shirt.
Are you going to American Sniper somebody or the guy at the end of American Sniper?
Oh. The real killer.
Nice. Yeah. So that means that the guy would be trading me on his shoot t-shirt guns.
And then I'd be like,
thanks for teaching me how to shoot this t-shirt.
Hey,
gun.
Man, you know what? This does relieve stress. Fuck you! And then it just like, this big shirt.
Bank of America.
Oh, no. This cricket shirt that's in a square. Yeah. It
says, go hard or go home. No.
Roll over minutes.
Fixing a roll over your ass.
Yeah. God damn it.
That's great. That sucks. You never shot a t-shirt gun.
Maybe it's a good thing.
You've met a bunch of like famous people, right? Like with people that come through. Any interesting shit happen with them?
The biggest I would say I've met was probably Robert Trio from Metallica.
Yeah, nice. Or Infectious Grooves.
Yeah. He actually saw my Dogtown tattoo, and I was talking to him about Suicidal and Infectious Grooves, and he actually was stoked on that.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, hey.
So right, he geeked out that you knew who he was outside of just the bass player for Metallica.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
that is fucking awesome.
And and it had to do with a movie screening. When Metallica released their movie Through the Never, San Antonio had like the highest numbers or whatever.
Of course it did.
So
the black t-shirt capital of the world, dude.
Yeah, so they sent him here to like host a couple screenings, and I literally had to interview him 15 minutes before. That's when I found out.
Dang. You know how many...
Because the other personalities...
Yes.
Apparently backed out last minute. And so they're looking around. And they're like, hey, he's on the air? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Nice. You know how many mechanic boners were had when Robert Trujillo joined Metallica? The fact that it was a Mexican dude joining the best metal band.
Oh, man!
Their cousin.
Yes, like he's straight up people's cousin.
He's related to somebody here.
Oh, yeah. We're two steps away.
That's like Danny Trejo, man. Danny Trejo literally has cousins here. They were interviewing him on a morning show and for Machete, and he was coming down for the Comic-Con, right? And he was just like, oh, well, I love San Antonio. I got, you know, a bunch of cousins in there. So, hey, Ramiro, blah, blah, blah. And he's like making shout-outs to his cousins. So.
The Raspa guy at the Highway 90 flea market.
Hey! DJ Larry Garza.
DJ Larry Garza.
I wanted to make a shout-out to my little cousin Pocket Knife. Like, thumbs up, guy?
Yeah.
Machete's little cousin?
Yes, yes, yes.
It took me a second, but yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
My niece Butterfly Knife?
Yeah, there it is.
Nothing? Well, that's fucking awesome, and you're a big sneakerhead.
Oh,
right,
very.
Has that been since? Is that recent? Has that been forever?
I've always been into sneakers, probably since late '80s stuff. You know,
skater shoes,
shoes, and I was into Jordans for a while when I tried the basketball thing for a few years, and then I'm back skateboarding again.
Yeah,
still, yep. Started skating in '86.
Damn.
Dating myself.
Skating since 80. You need a t-shirt that just says skating since 86. I don't know if that sounds.
Skating, that's his email address. Skating since
86. At Hotmail.
At AOL.
Oh my God.
Geocities.com. Still using those. I still got the stockpile of those free goddamn discs.
Those discs? Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's funny, dude. So it's like, I got free internet for life. 56K, bitches.
Keep on keeping on giving me those discs. You got to just call them every 27 days and say, I don't think it's really working out for me. Then wait a couple days, but pop the other disc back in. Use that code.
There it
is. I'm back on.
Is there a skate scene in San Antonio?
Yes and no. There are skate parks. Like there's one off Bandera, Lady Bird. There's one on the south side. But not
that's
really.
Just an empty pool, though.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But Rolling Oaks used to have an indoor. Didn't they have?
They did,
but it didn't last very long. Or did it? Did it?
I think it was in the works, and then it
never happened.
Never happened.
Okay, I don't even remember. I remember always passing by, and then I don't think it ever happened. I guess
the only one I ever remember was Rampant Rage on Austin Highway.
Yeah.
It's a mobile home park now.
Yeah,
the worst concrete street course ever. Like they just dump concrete and
litter it.
I had a Joe Cool Nash board when I was a kid. Remember those Nash boards?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And surprisingly, yeah. those were like the cheaper end. You know, yeah. like, oh, man, what a fucking poser. He's got a fucking Nash board. Yeah. Those are going for like $300 now.
Are they really?
What the fuck? I saw a guy on a Facebook group, a skateboarding collecting group.
Yeah.
He had like a fucking old Nash board, brand new. Like, yeah. I don't know how, but.
Joe Coolin goes right. Yeah, what was
it? Did they have Snoopy with sunglasses?
No,
they
did.
I wonder how much my.
With that big, huge tail guard at the bottom.
Oh, fuck. That's my Chester
That's
Cheetah.
For fucking kickflips.
That's my Chester
dude.
Cheetah skateboard with the fucking fat orange wheels.
Yeah.
That I fucking
how many
broke
kickflips did you do, Larry? Pipe.
You know what? For a little while, my buddy, he had two gator boards. Or decks, or whatever you call them.
I hope he would have kept those.
Yeah. Well, no.
Those are really worth money now.
Yeah, no. I remember that he had them, and I liked them, because they were the only skate boards that I could balance on for whatever reason. Like, I couldn't balance on my Joe Cool board. It was as big as it was. I couldn't do it. But his, it was, you know, I don't know, calibrated. Like, I'm not a skater at all. To where I was able to actually do stuff. And I was able to do a kick flip and an ollie and stuff like that. And, you know, simple stuff like Christ airs and everything that I've learned on Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I learned this cool trick called eat shit. That's pretty good at that. That's pretty good at eating shit.
Yeah. Slap dicks and fucking, you know, the taint scratches and stuff.
No, my favorite.
Gravel to the knees.
My favorite nolly. Cause they had that game that came out. It was Skate. And in the beginning, they try to teach you the moves, and then there's like this dude, it's a voiceover, and he's like, you gotta do a nollie now, but the controls were kind of fucked up, so every time I tried to do it, it just did an ollie, and it was just repeated voice sample, and the guy would go, nah, man, you gotta do a nollie, a nollie, nah, man, a nollie. I just heard it, oh, nah, man, a nollie. I'm like, fuck!
So do you wear gear?
Do I? No, yeah. I don't. If I'm going to really like go into a pool and skate, then I'll probably, you know, wear some pads and a helmet, but
yeah.
Just cruising around. No, man.
Cool.
Fuck that.
No, so man.
Cool.
No, man.
So how many decks is that? What we call them?
Like
boards,
like Pokemon and
World of
Warcraft. Sadly, that's what I think of.
Probably about 17.
Damn.
Oh, I bought one. I bought one last night.
What? Really?
Old school Alva daggers board. If anybody remembers the movie Thrashing.
Oh, yeah.
Hooking the daggers and the ramp locals. Alva, it was pretty much the daggers was like, that was the team right there. Yeah, of course, everybody had the Bones Brigade, Tony Hawk and all that, clean cut guys, but you had the Alva guys, they were dreadlocks, tattoos, smoking cigarettes, like back in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
And they had this skate gang called the daggers and they're actually still around to this day.
Dang.
They're
no
still,
shit.
There's and- still guys that are part of the daggers. They have the back patches and all that shit, just like from the movies. Except they're all fat and old and look like Paul Hogan now.
They teach audio production at San Diego College. What would you say if fucking Underdog just opened his shirt and just had a fucking dagger tattoo?
Hey, he's Californian, right? Right? No, no,
I have no clue. No.
Anyway, so how many sneakers do you have?
God, shoes. I have 274 pairs of Vans.
That's what's the
awesome. What? Oh,
just Vans.
Just Vans. Just
that's fucking
what
awesome,
about total?
Man.
Total probably over 300 and something. Cool. Because I have some old school like Jordans and Nikes and stuff that way back.
Where do you keep them?
I have an entire room.
So you have nothing. A room for shoes.
Boxes and boxes stacked.
Can I borrow a pair?
What size are you?
good question.
10 or 11?
No.
Damn it.
What size are you, bro?
12,
13. Yeah, damn be it.
The damn it.
What's the most expensive, not... Okay, two questions. Most expensive shoes that you've bought, like paid the most amount of money for, and which pair of shoes is worth the most amount of money? And if they're the same pair of shoe, then it's
cool. They aren't. Okay, most expensive I've paid, probably 120.
That's not bad.
I know, but Vans. Yeah. Well, there's Vans that are out now that are like, people are reselling them for like, $300-$400.
Yeah.
But like older Vans, like older.
No, these are like releases, like they're just super limited release.
What? So the $120 ones, what kind of Vans are they?
They were
Beavis and Butthead Vans?
It was a Steve Caballero, one of his original PAL designs that was on the side.
Wow.
Lime green. Okay. And I had to buy them from a website and they were $120. But most of them when Vans released, they're only like $60 to $100
So the ones that's worth the most money is
worth the most. I have two that are probably worth the most that are, well, actually, I say three. I don't know how much the one pair is. Two of them, one is a Social Distortion high top. And the other one is Circle Jerks low top. They were only released at South by Southwest, and they only had made 50 pairs.
Damn.
Well, okay. Wow,
so I had people that were up there, and I was like, here, here's the cash. Get in line. And the Social Distortion ones were, it was the funny story. Because there was a guy who used to work with me at the radio station. He was going up there to do interviews. And I was like, dude, I kept bugging him, texting him. I was like, dude, make sure you're there. It opens at 10. And it was, they only released on a certain day.
Jeez. Okay.
And it, and they were only like $70. So yeah. I gave him the money. I was like, dude, be there 10 o'clock, be there at 9. Fuck it. You know, get in line. So he comes back and he was like, here's your shoes, man. And I was like, was it fucking crazy or what? And he was like, I was the only person.
Oh, are you serious? Wow.
And I was like, cool, then I know I got my sizes.
Yeah. No shit.
Heck yeah.
Fuck yeah. I love it when that happens and hate it when it doesn't. When you're like, I know it's going to be there. Fuck! Yeah. There's this long line and then like, we need to get there at 6 in the morning. And then the dude opens up.
Hey, you guys ready?
Okay.
Final. Holy shit, somebody's actually here.
Yeah.
Oh. Final question.
This guy from the Circle Jerks is selling the shoes. You want those autographed? No, man.
No.
You know how much these shoes are worth?
You know how much these are worth if you don't ride on them?
It's not mint condition.
Dude. What is your favorite pair of shoes?
My favorite
place pair? Is burning down. You get to grab one pair.
Social Distortion high tops.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, those.
Have you worn them?
Oh, yeah. I wear all my shoes.
No. Okay.
Oh,
there you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I've been none of
and
my
I'm
toys.
Gonna display, I'm actually gonna be displaying at the Sneaks Up show.
Really?
In April.
Where's that at?
I haven't heard where it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be Cowboys Dance Hall. That's what they've had it the last couple of years.
And so you're showcasing like a booth?
That's a big place though.
Yeah. I'm gonna get a booth and.
No shit. That's fucking cool. You heard it here first, folks. First on public access. Sneaks Up. Convention for all you sneakerheads out there. Damn, he's got the Velcros. Do you have pro wings? Do you have any pro wings?
I do not.
I know you're a big Macklemore.
You got
fan.
Any cleats?
No, but I was thinking about buying a couple pairs of Vision Streetwear that I found.
What is that?
Online. Vision Streetwear skate shoes from back in the 80s.
Yeah, it kind of rings a bell.
They had the little rubber Ollie cap on the side.
Yeah. They built the soles to do tricks and shit.
Yeah, they and I found them on it's Sears.com. $30 a pair, and I was like, shit, there's a red pair and a green pair.
I'll take them.
All right, for Christmas, I can wear one of each. All right, Chuck, 2 weeks ago, we had our first sponsor. It was Elite Vapory.
Yes.
Right? So if you guys, a quick freebie shout out to Elite Vapory out there. If you guys
who celebrated their grand opening, it was a smash hit.
So, you know, if you're in San Antonio, Texas, and you want to buy some vape, you're down to get a good vaping on, you know, if you're a vapist, go to Elite Vapory and pick it up. And now you're witnessing the first gift from a fan, Ryan Timothy Brace from
Montreal.
So,
Quebec. Never been there. I need to go.
So if the SD card survives...
For right, some, why are you scared?
I like Ryan very, very much, but I don't know him very, very much.
I know him enough to know he's a nice guy.
No.
I know he's
a nice card. Mine says to Mr. Garza from Ryan, rest in peace.
No, it does not say rest in peace.
Shit. It does not say that.
Yeah.
It's wrapped very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is wrapped very nice.
It's wrapped very nice.
Very Canadian colors, too.
Very, safe.
Looks like some sort of tool.
It's a Luigi!
Yeah!
Thank you! Ryan, thank you so much.
Whatever, dude.
No, hold on, stop. Thank you so much for not killing us.
God damn it. It's like a Japanese Luigi.
That's fucking awesome. Like, he had messaged me and he was all like, you know, you like Luigi, right? I was like, I love Luigi, right? And he sends me a picture of him dressed in Luigi with his dick hanging out.
That's not even what happened at all. Not even a little bit.
That's not a Stromboli.
And the caption just said, it's a me. And
it's
then,
a me.
And then I text, I go, Mario says that. And then he's all, I'm so embarrassed. But thank you very much, Ryan, man. Thank you. And my family thanks you. God damn it. All right, mine says to Mr. Castro from Ryan.
It's really nice, man. Thank you.
Yes.
Do they celebrate Christmas in Canada? I guess it's Christmas now.
No.
In Canada. We're here February 12th. No, they so that's Christmas. That's Christmas over
so
there.
So they believe in a different Jesus then? That he was born at
it's
a different
time.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. See, it's Fat Mac, which Lisa's going to love. It's Fat Mac from Always Sunny. Is, I don't know if anyone watches It's Sunny in Philadelphia, but there's the one season Mac went fat, just perpetually known as Fat Mac. And Fat Mac is my favorite Mac, short of Mac doing karate with his cousin, Country Mac. Oh, fuck. This is awesome. I love my Fat Mac.
It's a
talking bobblehead.
Yeah. Thanks, Ryan, for not killing Jess either.
This is awesome. God. Stop that.
All right.
Here we go.
Mine says to the nature boy, Regan Arevalos.
I hope it's a robe.
That's my favorite. I wish I could be called the nature boy. I love that nickname. I think it's the coolest ever. So I've never been called that. Thank you.
His is in an actual box. And the beautiful thing about this wrapping is it has a color scheme to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Ah, oh, you cocksucker! It's Colossus!
Oh, yeah! Wow!
Hell yeah!
What'd you get, Chuck?
No. Dude, what the hell? I called you a cocksucker, but I meant it with the greatest and deepest love. You have to understand.
In a very Phil Anselmo way.
Yeah.
That's the best! Look at that! Oh my gosh! I'm gonna have a whole Colossus display now.
Oh, you... Oh. Colossus me bag.
Dude! Freaking, this Halloween, I want to cosplay as Colossus. I want to make it happen.
That's fucking awesome.
Ryan, thank you so much, wow. You sweetie pie.
Ryan, what the hell? This is fucking incredible. This is awesome.
I didn't get you anything.
Yeah. We're going to need your address. This is like the nicest thing ever.
This is super nice.
It's all right, man.
No, it's not all right.
Hey, Ryan, why is my gift smaller than...
What? That was like Larry's first thought process. He's like saw his little box. He's stewing on it the entire time.
Colossus has got to be big. He's way bigger than Luigi.
No, man.
Like in real life. Seriously.
Better give Luigi some of them mushrooms.
Fat Mac is so fat, I can't pull him out of this box. I think I need to like open the bottom.
No. I need to go to Montreal. Give you a hug.
RT Brace, dude. Yeah. RTB.
Yeah, you got to show me around Montreal, Ryan, because I've never been.
I can't wait for next week, Ryan, when you send us more presents.
Oh, with that note.
Well, fucking Chuck, it's so fucking badass to have you. Thank you so much for doing it, man.
Fuck yeah, man.
It's already been a lot of fun so far, and it'll only go downhill from here.
Yeah, we can only get more offensive.
yeah, exactly.
So, Jess.
Jess, what's up?
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey. So, it's time for another installment of my segment that I like to call, Yeah, I'm gonna look into that. A segment where I talk about movies and games and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction. Don't eat those.
Larry,
sriracha bees. Don't eat those sriracha bees.
Distract you, go.
Well, hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of listeners after hearing about said thing is, yeah, I'm going to look into that. As Larry's eating these sriracha peas that have been sitting here for 3 months.
Are they stale?
No. The bag's open. It was sealed. Yeah, those were like ketchup peas. Those are,
the bag was sealed. You want some Chuck, dude? No, I'm fucking look gross,
at
dude.
Just look at him. Don't take a whiff.
Just take a whiff.
So this week, we're talking about the movie that is playing in select theaters, and the movie is called What We Do in the Shadows. And What We Do in the Shadows is a mockumentary comedy about centuries-old vampires all living together in one house. It's starring and directed by Jermaine Clement, who's in Fly of the Conchords. Yeah. It's a very funny...
and Rio, dude. There.
And Rio, yeah. And, yeah, picture four classic vampires, like Dracula, centuries-old vampires living in a house, and they've been living together for a long time. Then it takes place in New Zealand, and one of them has a servant-like chick who's just lingering around just so she can turn into a vampire. She's a modern-day girl lingering around, and her ex-boyfriend stumbles in, finds the house, and then he accidentally gets turned into a vampire. He's this dipshit douchey dude, and then hijinks ensue. But the whole movie shot with a mockumentary style, very Spinal Tap type of approach,
of these vampires who all live together in the same house. Looks fun. It's got some funny parts in the trailer. It's got a lot of
is it like a festival real world kind of thing?
I was just about to
say. Like a real world type of thing, but like they have history and shit. There's like
I'm looking at the picture. There's they're portraits all of them. Like
very like very
pre 1800s.
Yeah, very Vlad.
One looks like Nosferatu.
Yeah, one of them straight up looks like Warlock.
And then there's just a dude in jeans and there's like a douche dipshit
dude. Yeah,
it's been like this the whole time, Deacon. On dishes, and it still hasn't moved in 5 years. You're a cool guy, but you're not pulling your weight in the flat.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that I'm cool.
No, that's not the point, though. Yeah, you're missing
I know. Flat meeting about how cool you are.
When you get three vampires in a flat, obviously there's going to be a lot of tension.
Viago was an 18th century dandy.
Vladislav is a bit of a pervert.
This is my torture chamber.
Deacon's like the young bad boy of the group.
I'm supposed to pay rent, but I don't.
When you're a vampire, you become very sexy.
So, with that said, that brings us to our first topic of the night. And the topic inspired by the movie is, what is your best and or worst roommate experience? The movie's about four housemates, they're all vampires, and they gotta deal with each other's bullshit, and who cannot totally relate to that? So, best and worst. Or, you know, if you got one or the other, that's fine. Mine's super simple, because my favorite roommate thing, and it kind of almost doesn't count because I didn't technically live there. Well, the best thing still to me is the Halloween party that we had where it was that party where, like, what the fuck's happening here?
When you were the ring?
Yeah, I was the ring, and it was the party that escalated to a party to where, why is there a monkey with fucking jello shots?
Yeah, someone like, brought jello shots.
Jello shots and asked. A fucking cappuccino monkey. Ooh.
Someone bought one of those little fucking monkeys that look like rats with them, where it's like, it looked like they had like a hamster or something.
Like the ones from Indiana Jones?
It was a baby. Like, it was like
a little monkey.
It was a fucking monkey. Yeah. Where it looked like another animal.
We don't even know who brought it. Like, who's
so some
it
just randomly showed up.
People randomly showed up with jello shots.
We had a DJ because one of our DJ friends was playing there. We had a bonfire in the back. Yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was the type of house that where some dudes would show up, and then next thing you know, they're unloading their like a band equipment, and they had like a drummer.
Sounds like half the yard was like a concert, half the yard was a rave, then a bonfire.
It was awesome. It was badass.
There was Satan worship in the kitchen.
There was like, some Satan worship.
People on the roof.
Yeah. But it does bring to that point why it was also my favorite Halloween costume of all time, where I did dress up as Sawa from The Ring because I used to work at Best Buy, and they had those.
Yeah.
They had those fake plastic TV shells that they would put on top of furniture as a display. So, but they were going to throw one of those away. I took one, so I just had a TV around my waist, and I was coming out of the TV, and I was wearing this muumuu and a long black wig. Great. And it was a hit.
He drank a Zima, dude.
Yeah,
that was at my birthday party.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was a different.
That's
one.
When he got toe up.
Yeah, but the accompanying worst memory to go after that was the cleanup afterwards, which was like almost a month later. I don't know, and. Because it was this awesome, it was horrible, but it was a great day. And our friend Albert Vasquez, all three of us, me, Larry, and Albert, I think all of us had to get our registration renewed for our vehicles. So we had that in our plate. And then we also had the whole thing of like, let's clean up this house. There's a cup of Sonic lemonade slush that's in the sink that has been there, like has this horrific smell.
This was like January, and Jess is referring to a Halloween party.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, hardcore boiling hot water to like wash these. I had this giant like soup pan where we put dishes in boiling hot soapy water.
And then Regan came out. Hey guys, what's going on? And then would leave.
I had stuff to do, man. And I remember the best thing was that Sonic cup that was in the sink. And then I was like, all right, let's throw this away. And it was still had the plastic lid on it. When I pulled the lid off of it, this like visible cloud
of gnats. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a visible cloud of gnats. Like it was a cloud of gnats that formed the shape of a giant gnat. It was a ghouls and ghosts ghosts and goblins boss that came out of this fucking cup.
There was also the time where there was two breakfast tacos that were in the couch.
Oh my god! Yeah. All right, so my best is the Halloween party. Accompanying it is the worst was the cleanup of that specific party afterwards. Yeah, so
that's, I guess it helps that we all live together.
So you guys, besides Andy, are my only experience with roommates. And what's funny is that Jess didn't live there technically. It was me, Regan, and our friend Paul.
Yeah, because if I didn't really count my real roommates, it's just every time me and my friends played Rock Band. That's the god honest truth. That was pretty delirious. But anyways,
my favorite, and Jess is involved in this memory, even though, like I said, he didn't fucking technically live there. We called it the Keg House because that's where we made a bunch of the Comedy Go-Go sketches from back in the day when we had our public access show. It was just like go to 24/7. You know, we all had the type of jobs at the time that weren't 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. So there were times where we were all just off on a Thursday. So it was just like, okay, let's fucking film something. Everything's empty. Everyone else is at work around, right? The two quick favorite memories was one, when we first moved there, I lived with my aunt and uncle, my mom lived with my grandma. And so I was like 22 or 23 and I was just like, I'm moving out, guys. You know, I didn't fucking ask or it would make a big deal out of it. I just was staying there all the time. I was like, fucking, I'm moving out. Because our friend's parents moved to Germany and he was staying here in town for us and for work. So we're like, yeah, we'll move in. We'll pay rent. So I fucking moved in. And the first night we were there, it was the transition for me from not staying with your folks. So I was kind of like, what time is it? 11? And I can play my music as loud as I want. And we were in this empty living room just going, ah! Because though Regan had lived by himself in Colorado before that, and it was just one of those things that even though we should have experienced that at least once in our life, it was that kind of true, honest, like we're not kids anymore living with our folks. The second best memory was we had made friends with the neighbors next door. They were, or across the street, I should say. They were, you know, these Mexicans that were just, they didn't fucking bother us. Well, they ended up getting like either evicted or foreclosed, right?
Oh, shit.
And we would use their driveway and stuff like that for like sketches and things. And we didn't want people to move in there. Yeah.
We did not want anybody moving into that house. We liked it being empty.
So this realtor would come by on Saturdays and stuff. Do you remember this, Jess?
And sure.
And show people the house. But we were a sketch comedy troupe that had an entire closet and shed full of costumes props. And props and random stuff. So when they were showing these prospective homeowners, you know, what they were getting into, we started having a ninja fight. I dressed up like a college graduate in a cap and gown and was doing and like flips in our underwear.
In costumes, being dicks.
Yeah. Playing really loud,
like, hey, what's
cussing
up?
Music. Like, it was fucking great. Yeah. And one time, if I'm not mistaken, the most that happened was the realtor, because it was the same lady, just shook her head at us because like people didn't want to see the rest of the house because we were just like, fuck you!
What's up, Nabies?
Nabies! Nabeus Corpus.
We have Satan meetings every Wednesday night.
You're welcome, man. Come over.
Yeah, the Mormons would come in, and I've told this story in a podcast before. Yeah. My buddy Santos fucking squatted in the house for a little while, and he would answer the door and to talk to these Mormons, and I went with a half of a gorilla suit and on the top and an adult diaper on the bottom. And I blasted some Slayer. I went up behind him and put my arm around him. And I was like, hey, baby, are we going to watch Satanic Rites of Dracula? And Son just goes, fuck yeah. And so the one Mormon guy looked disgusted. And then the other Mormon guy cracked up laughing. Like,
oh my God, this is the secret life that I've always wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. At least you're wearing the secret underwear, right? The worst memory, though, I had a really shitty New Year's Eve turn into New Year's. Regan was out of town. My buddy Paul was in Germany. And they left this dog that was dying. This was a dying dog.
Yeah, I slept with that dying dog. Was dying.
Yeah. He was
18 years old.
Yeah, he...
Nothing worked on him. Big dog.
Like,
he smelled like death.
And like, it was still thrash. The house was, like I said, that cleanup happened in like January. So this was obviously January 1st. It was still the remnants of a Halloween party, Thanksgiving leftovers, food. It was trash, dude. Chairs were flipped over. And I was by myself. And one thing about me is I don't like being by myself. I wake up to the doorbell ringing. I'm going to go downstairs and the place is trashed even worse. And this poor dog took the biggest shit in the middle of the rug. And he was like this oddly ashamed and upset because he was just kind of,
ha, 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 ha,
New Year's Day and help me clean up this dog shit while I was like fucking crying at like how shitty my year started.
Aww.
Just imagine a shitty New Year's Eve waking up. Like, oh, well, it's the start of a new year. Hopefully it's a, oh my God.
No, no.
So that's best and worst.
Well, the resolve is that we cleaned the room a couple of weeks later.
Thank you.
There's a ton of, obviously, memories living in that house. There's so many great, amazing, fun memories. We shot so many videos around that neighborhood. Our neighbors were so cool. The other neighbors were, we liked all our neighbors. That's why we were dicks to anybody new. They would come over, like we had those neighbors that came over during one of our parties, and they were like older couple that came over. They're all fun. They all liked us. So they're all, so many great, great memories. There's one time that I don't remember why, but Larry and Paul were trying to get me to open my door and like put the speaker up against my door and started playing music, like guitar music and rock music, just trying to annoy me. Yeah, you put the amp right up against my door. I don't know why you guys are being dicks, but y'all were just trying to get, I forgot what you were trying to accomplish.
I think you're smashing ass or something like that.
Yeah, I think I was in my room with a girl, and so they just decided to be dicks and put the amp up against the door and play like music, just jam and rock So there's so many great memories, but I'm going to say my worst memory was when I lived in Colorado with my best friend Nick Bush and Ryan Sickle. Ryan at the time wasn't the most mature guy. He's a great person now. He's absolutely amazing. But at the time, he was very, very addicted to marijuana. And I say addicted because that dude, he spent all his money. He spent so much money that he did not pay the heating bill. So that was his bill to pay. He didn't pay heating. This is Colorado in January. He did not pay the heating bill. Out of principle, I was like, I'm going to pay it. I'm not going to pay it. So we had no heat in Colorado, in these crappy apartments with horrible insulation. I went to bed every night wearing, like, fully clothed with, like, a jacket. This went on for 2 months, January and February.
2 months.
Now, damn. You're saying, hey, no heat, no hot water, right? That's right. No hot water. So how are you going to take a shower, Regan? Oh, this is how I'm going to do it. Every morning, I would put 4 pots of water on the stove, heat them up. Then we had, I don't know where we got this package of like Pepsi cups, like a whole pack of Pepsi cups. I would fill them up, line them on the shower, and then I like made a shower out of like an old shampoo bottle while poking holes in it. And I would pour the hot water into the shampoo bottle. It'd rain over me, and I'd slowly take a shower like that every freaking morning for 2 months. Every morning, out of principle. Now you're probably saying, hey, what did your roommates go through all that? No, they didn't. I'm pretty sure Nick Bush only took 2 showers at home. And Ryan would take baths in the hot tub in the workout area.
So basically the G.G. Allen lifestyle.
It was
got his best ass kicking in San Antonio, man.
Terrible, awful. We had these really good friends who always threw parties, and we would go to their parties on weekends and like shower in their showers while the party was going on without them knowing about it. We'd be like, make sure nobody goes into Yock's friggin' bedroom real quick because I'm going to take a shower. And like you'd come out with wet hair. So stupid. So stupid. Horrible, horrible 2 months.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
It was horrible, but out of principle, and now I have my story of like, you don't know what cold is, because cold is freaking Colorado in February with no heat, man. It was horrible. So that's my story.
I lived in Colorado. Oh.
Shut up.
Chuck?
Like you, I haven't had many roommates. I would say probably best was probably went to a trip to a Cowboys game up in Dallas, and the guy that I had to room with, it was like they had a living room with a couch and bed, and I had mine. There was a sink, and the bathroom was in where he was.
Right.
So obviously it was a party trip, And I say it was the best because I would use the sink for a toilet, basically, in the room where he was at. And no, it wasn't only just number one. No.
You upper decked the sink, dude?
Yeah, I left a fucking Snickers bar in the... The sink there.
Good God.
That's so fucking and it was metal, great. Dude. And
it was, you just rubbed hot water and then just did a couple of douses of soap.
It was like a bad punk rock tour in that room. Like,
you just left it. Can you imagine the poor abuelita that came in?
No.
And then, Chuck Vance, the radio personality.
I need three cans of lemon pledge.
Fabuloso.
Fabuloso.
Yeah, fabuloso. She probably poured it on the turd and it turned into a baby Ruth. It turned into
magic.
Into disintegrated and sounded fucking wonderful because fabuloso is pretty fucking potent.
Cut it up, delicious. Put it in plastic.
So now that's
flea
your
market is candy.
So that's your best?
That's the best, the worst.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Only downhill from there.
Worst is still pretty good, though. It was, I didn't live at the place, but we had gone up to Austin for the weekend and we were going for a show or something. And a friend of ours who lived up there was not getting along with a roommate. She was moving out. And so we were like drunk as shit. And we're like, let's go to the apartment. That fucking, I gotta get a couple things. Cool. There was a jug of Kool-Aid. And I decided I was, cause the chick was a fucking snatch to begin with. So I was like, man, I was drunk, I was like, I'm gonna pee in this Kool-Aid jug.
No.
Dude, I totally did. It was about 3/4 full.
And you filled it up.
And I feel bad because it was like the part that made it the worst was because how bad I felt about myself for doing it. And then the girl told me 2 weeks later, she's like, yeah, when I went to go back to turn in my key to the chick, like I looked in the fridge because I thought I'd left some like food or something there.
Some
and
turd in the sink.
She goes, dude, that Kool-Aid was almost gone.
Oh, no! God.
Yes.
I thought it was cherry, not cherry lime.
Sour, sour cherry, yeah.
Pocket
sour
knife,
kids
man.
In this thing.
Yeah, this Kool-Aid tastes like piss. guzzle.
Like,
no, but fucking Chuck probably drank so much vodka that night that they were like,
who spiked the Kool-Aid? Oh, shit, it was. I was like the guy from fucking, what was it, Rat? In that, what was that documentary? The metal one? Where he was in the pool with his mom sitting there and he just chugs that whole bottle.
Yeah, it was about
the
like
depressing
that
one. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. What the fuck is that one? It's like
Decline of Western Civilization.
Decline of Western Civilization.
Part two, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he's just with the vine and his mom's.
And wasn't it Chris Holmes? Is that his name?
Yeah. That's the one where they were like talking about where the devil horns came from and Dio and Gene Simmons are like arguing over it.
Well, I started it because I played bass and it was holding the pick and that's right. And then Dio's like, I started it when my grandmother would put the curse on people. I'm Dio.
I'll still take Dio's over Gene Simmons. Yeah. Gene Simmons is a fucking cock. Yeah. He's
a fucking Hyman Roth or whatever the fuck his name is.
All right, let's go to Facebook's.
That poor Hyman.
He got busted.
Facebook answers. Travis K says, never really had roommates. I pretty much lived at home until my parents couldn't take it anymore and let me and my wife buy the house.
Wow.
I guess if my family counts as roommates, best is getting to spend time with my wife, watching TV and movies. Man, he loves his wife.
Yeah, hey, whatever. Rightfully so, man.
Travis loves his wife.
He should.
Send us presents. Send us presents.
No, no.
Okay, he says, worst is when my parents used to make me do dishes when I wasn't even home to eat.
That's not too bad. Go love
your wife some more.
That's where, come on.
Dude, that's
I didn't must refer back to the fucking Snickers in the sink.
Leave a Snickers in the sink.
Covers all the bases.
Leave a Snickers in the sink.
Yeah, right. Hungry, why wait?
Judson Cooper says a prank war. Oh, do you remember when we had airsoft gunfights that we just ran through the house shooting airsoft? A prank war that had its ups and downs. The last trick included a real fight, a trashed house, a bottle of fake blood, and some strategically placed scissors and parties. All the parties.
Some real fights.
Yeah. Shaggy from Puto Slam Poetry says, quote, that is not a urinal.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a toilet.
And he also didn't, what, like best or worst? He just kind of left it at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It could have been best.
Shaggy best was at time, a couple of times. Those.
Yeah.
Samantha Lyons says, I had a dorm roommate who used to get mad at me for having the audacity to sleep in the room at night. She would express her disdain by making a lot of noise intentionally, slamming the door, throwing books, etc. The last time she did this, I woke up standing, holding her against the door by the throat and getting ready to punch her in the face and mumbling something about the effing library. I don't remember her even making eye contact with me after that. Damn.
Yeah, you got
watch out there, man. Yeah,
flip the switch.
Carlos Castro says, my roommate of 2 years had Tourette's that made his arm flail out. He swung on me several times per day. He backed me up in countless dance fights. We jumped out of a moving bus once. Best roommate ever. Fair enough. His Tourette's arm flinging bus jumping out of roommate.
Yeah, that's how he's like, yeah, I liked the guy, man. He kept swinging at me when I wasn't ready.
Yeah. Kept me on my toes.
Carlos is a badass, by the way.
Oh, that's hilarious. Tommy Munoz says, Mata and I were roommates and we played Grand Theft Auto almost every night until we saved the game in chaos mode. Messed up the whole game. Another time I was staying with Golily and 9/11 happened. Thanks, Matt.
It's all his fault.
But both Chris Malda and Matt Golightly and Tommy Munoz, past podcast guests.
Gregory Pierce says, in grad school, I decided to room with a, quote, free spirit type person. Best moment, being able to pay only $500 for a two-bedroom apartment in San Diego. Damn. The worst moment, nice. The woman had a fear of rats, and she decided to leave the back door open to, quote, let in nature. This was then followed by a rat finding its way into her closet and a sleepless night as she would scream for me to, quote, get in here and kill it. Over the course of the evening, instead of just keeping your closet door closed. Ugh. Brian Powell says, the worst time when my college roommate walked in on me jerking off.
Yeah. Nice, nice.
Best time when I walked in on him jerking off. That's a, well, it could be true.
Yeah, they could have had a cum fight.
Andy Salinas Garza, whoever that is, says, best, being pregnant with Mikey and watching Oprah with Regan while eating strudel bites, aka Andy Chips. Worst. Worst, yeah. Living at the CAG house while you guys were rehearsing the, quote, kung fu fighting sketch. Oh, I still have nightmares about that song. That's classic stuff,
yeah,
man.
Classic stuff, yeah.
She was trying to sleep while everybody was kung fu while we're choreographing that.
Oh, that was great. Crystal Hernandez-Railer says, too many bad experiences. First roommate threw out almost a full box of Pizza Hut pizza because there was a video of Domino's employee messing with the pizza. What? That sucks. Then we had a roommate move out during the last month and who would come back to watch TV and wash clothes but didn't help clean out her part of the apartment. Oh, that sucks. Ryan Timothy Brace.
Yay, it's the best answer. You got the best answer.
RTV. He says, do parents and siblings count? Because if so, I'll put every single time my father got drunk and acted like a childish buffoon and every time my sister opened her lazy, stupid mouth.
Ryan. A pocket knife, man. It's his little cousin.
Playing in select cities, obviously not here in town. Obviously nowhere near town, not even in Austin. What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do
in the Shadows. Looks funny. I'll give it a shot. Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
So, guys, it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
So, you know, Chuck, you're a dad.
I am.
Right?
I am.
Our daughters are pretty much the same age, so finally it's an even Steven match because hardly anybody has kids that are fucking guests.
Yeah.
And in this edition, you know, I'm going to talk about the radio, right? You know, Andy just recently asked me to start showing the kids more good music. Show them Faith No More, show them Nirvana, show them classic songs, you know, show them like, oh, this band's a good band and stuff like that, like I used to when they were kids. Because recently we've been listening to the radio a lot just because Mikey's a sponge, man, and Gunner is too. They're liking pop songs, and I don't see anything wrong with most of them. Just like, okay, they're catchy tunes, you know. It's an introduction into just liking music just in general. But in when you really come down and you think about it, just kind of like, you know, even the innocent songs are still talking about booty and all this stuff and
twerking.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And, on a Tuesday. And so, you know, even like, as much as I like the Bruno Mars Uptown Funk song, he's talking about snorting coke in the first verse.
Really?
Yeah. That Michelle Pfeiffer, white gold, dude.
Why are you going to listen to the lyrics, man? Just enjoy the music.
Because, you know, when you have Gunner singing, Michelle Pfeiffer for that white gold.
Like he doesn't know who Michelle Pfeiffer is.
Dude, he knows. He's like the bitch from Scarface, right? And I was like, no, it's like, it's Catwoman, Batman Returns, man. And then, you know, Gunner's like, nah, man, it's fucking Scarface's hoe. I'm like, calm down, you're four. So
he's like, fuck you, Dad.
It's fuck you, Dad. So I'm the bad guy, singing out to the bad guy. So I have no shame in what I like. And if I like something, I'm like, yeah, I like it. It's just simple as that. Even shit that is somewhat embarrassing to say. Fucking Shake It Off, but Taylor Swift, I was jamming to it before it got like super old in my head.
Blank Space is amazing.
Okay, cool. Right? Yeah. Blank Space, I hate, not a big fan of that song.
You're dumb.
I took Mikey to a Valentine's Day dance today, and they had like, okay, loved ones, you know, get with your children or guardians. And it's so bad that they can't say dads with your daughters, moms with your sons. They have to say guardians and special people and, you know,
foster parents.
Right. Mom's boyfriend dance, you know. And so we go, and it was some Taylor Swift song about, you know, stay young and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, how endearing, how nice. And I totally get that it's corporate produced, written by 17 people. I've seen the Beyonce versus Beck memes where it's like, how many writers did it take to write one Beyonce song versus
and
how
there
many?
There was one with Queen.
Yeah.
The Bohemian Rhapsody and Beyonce. Yeah.
So it's like, I get it. But at the same time, it's just music. You know what I mean? I'm not going to let the kids listen to like S&M by Rihanna or anything. But they, Mikey knows who Nirvana is. They know the lyrics to Smells Like Teen Spirit. They know the lyrics to the Cowboy song by Faith No More, believe it or not. Because I just listened to the shit out of that song while they were growing up. And
it's a B-side, dog.
And it's a B-side off a live album, right? So it brings up my podcast question, which I'm really excited to hear the answers to this, is who is your favorite artist from your least favorite style of music? So, you know, I know a lot of people don't like country, and I know pretty much what they're going to say. I know a lot of people don't like Tejano. One of the styles of music that I really can't stand is reggaeton. I don't like reggaeton. Every song. Onka bonka, wonka wonka bonka. And it's not as popular as it used to be.
And I have no point of reference because I'm white.
Daddy Yankee. Like, it's all this.
That's it. You've heard it.
I've heard the style.
At stoplights around San Antonio. You've heard it. Yeah,
you know, and it's terrible. It's not good. And in the fact that I don't really speak Spanish is, you know, whatever. But I freely admit and love, even with that beat, is a group called Calle 13. Like, they're just Spanish rappers. They're just, it's a Spanish rap group, and El Presidente, the lead guy, is awesome. And I can kind of understand what he's saying from the, you know, the little bit of Spanish that I know. And he's just a fucking good rapper that just so happens to be just sucked into the genre of that. It's me the equivalent of Limp Bizkit, the band, you know, versus Fred Durst. Like, I don't like Fred Durst, but I think Limp Bizkit's a fucking great band, and I stand by
it. Oh, yeah.
So my answer is Calle 13 in the reggaeton style of music. So I'll bring it up to you guys.
Yeah.
This is a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I'm going through an entire list of music genres right now. So immediately I went to Tejano, but I don't really hate Tejano because Tejano always brings up wonderful memories of eating at La Chapala Jalisco.
Least favorite style of music.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really hate it because it just makes me get hungry, really, Tejano. So I'm okay with Tejano. Country, I want to say, because modern country, I absolutely hate. Just really don't like anything post 1994. Not that I really like stuff before that, but just that, I don't know. This is where I break it in my head. So I would say like country sort of, but then the stuff that I do like of country, it's not that big a deal. Like, I don't really like their entire
catalog
of like Randy Travis, but I can get down on some Randy Travis. But then I want to say stuff like Charlie Feathers, but I don't even really consider that real country. Like, I consider that just kind of like country rock sort of stuff, and which is a lot cooler than that. So it's really tough. Like, I don't know how to narrow it down.
But see, I think you can with Tejano. right? Would you say Tejano's your least favorite? Like, if he had to,
I had to choose between Tejano and country,
yeah,
I would choose Tejano to listen to. Seriously,
wow, because
I don't really even understand it. It's not that big. Because country music, I could listen to it and go, "What the hell did that dude just say?"
Yeah.
Those are the stupidest lyrics. Mm-hmm. You want your red solo cup and freaking put a boot in your like? Who the you're an idiot? Who writes this crap? Like country music frustrates me.
It gets big something tractor.
Oh, dude, no, it's the stupidest. Look, look how mad I'm getting right now. And Tejano.
But then if I gave you Randy Travis's greatest hits.
Oh, I could sit down and listen to that.
Then that's your answer.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I can listen to that.
But there's also modern country that's an old school flavor, like Hank 3,
mm-hmm.
Shooter Jennings, Jesse Dayton out of Austin. They have the old school flavor, but they're newer artists.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, I don't know if they get any, but anytime I'm at Bill Miller's, dude, I freaking hear horrible, horrible country music.
Well, God. Hank 3 puts the cunt in country and the dick in Dixie.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's a badass.
That's pretty bad.
He's not some, what is it, jean-wearing faggot? Like, what is it? What did he say in that song? He said some shit like that.
For me, I had to really think about this. For me, I don't like pop, current pop R&B music. Like, it's catchy, but I just really despise it. Like, I just don't listen to it. It's like, I think it's here to go, ugh, you know?
Yeah, right.
But the artist, I did think about it. Yeah, the artist that I do, and that's not that I don't like any of them, you know. Sure. But the one that I have on my iPod, and it's extremely hypocritical to listen to because it sounds the same as this artist named Utada Hikaru is like her full Japanese name. Mm-hmm. She was a J-pop artist that broke through internationally, but her singing style is straight up westernized. Like, she sings and sounds just like any other pop artist, but I remember when I first heard it, because it was, you know, I'm in the anime J-pop soundtracks and shit, and hearing her, I was like, yeah, like, she's really good. But then when you listen to it, I remember, I think I had a friend in the car, and there was like, this sounds just like J-Lo. Like, it sounds and I was like, yeah, it is. And like, her breakthrough album was called Exodus, and it was produced by Timbaland and Pharrell.
Oh, wow.
This was years ago, and there's one song in there that's fucking horrible, but I like the way, again, it's the music that's good,
right?
But the whoever wrote the lyrics, it's fucking awful. And it's about her, well, there's two horrible songs in the CD, but there's like one about she's at a club and it's all about her, and she's Asian, it's about her grinding on different like ethnicities, like a black dude and a cowboy dude, and it's like about her getting down with all these people who are down with her because she's Asian, right? And there's this other fucking song, it's fucking awful. Like, musically, it's like, yeah, this is catchy as shit, but it's about how she's straight up fucking this married dude.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
And it's straight up like, just like, I don't mind being the other girl, and she's
a side bitch.
It's about her getting hot, thinking about him
fucking his
creeping
wife?
Away. No, creeping away from his wife and how that turns her on.
Yeah, no boom boom soul brother, dude. Too buku, man.
But what's hilarious is that there's that album. But then, like, her, like, finding out about her is through video games, because she sang, like, the theme song for Kingdom Hearts, that game over that was the Final Fantasy Disney crossover.
Yeah, where she's talking about grinding on Donald Duck.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's the song. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's a perfect example of the music. I just, like, ugh, especially with all this, like, the Beyonce type of thing going on, who's very talented, who has a great voice and stuff, but it just, I can't get down on the fact of just like, I can't get down it. But then,
no drunken love surfboard, surfboard, nothing.
No, Tin Hat counts because I don't like bluegrass, and they're very bluegrassy, and that's like the best sounding
Tin Hat Trio.
Formerly Tin Hat Trio, now they're just Tin Hat.
Ah,
yeah,
one of the guys left.
But you, Chuck Vance, Tin Hat.
I absolutely hate pop music. Mm-hmm. Beyonce, I hate. Katy Perry, all that crap. But surprisingly, the pop artist that I actually like, Lady Gaga.
Ah, cool. Okay. Good, because
she actually writes her own shit, and she writes her shit musically and lyrically, and puts, like, you know, everything into it. Because I will say, I've actually been to a Lady Gaga concert.
Wow. How
is it? And it was actually very good.
Sure, funny
side story though on it is, it was at the Frank Erwin Center in Austin.
Yeah.
my ex at the time was like, hey, I got these free tickets. We're going to go. I was like, all right, but I'm getting shit faced to go. I'm getting shit faced.
It seems like a theme here.
Yeah. A little bit. And so we go and I get in there and get some beers and we're sitting down and, you know, the opening band plays. I don't even remember who the fuck they were.
There Social was, dis something.
No, know. I don't know. It was
Circle Jerks.
I think so. Well, I think that was a lot going on in the crowd before the band even played.
Selling shoes.
But they, you know, you always have the music between, you know, the opening act and the headliner that the headliner picks. And so I'm sitting there with the beers and Rain and Blood plays, Anthrax, Public Enemy, Old Megadeth, Old Metallica, Suicidal. And I was like, fuck, dude, this chick played, like, picked all this fucking badass, like, old thrash. I was like, all right. So I was like, well, I'm going to go smoke and, you know, go get another beer. So I go to take a pee. And of course, Lady Gaga show. So drag queens,
right?
Trannies, all that, you know, sitting there.
Staying in there.
And I'm drunk, and I pull up to the urinal, and it's like, guess we ain't in Kansas anymore, boys, are we? Woo! And they just kind of looked at me like, and I'm dressed all punk rock, so I wasn't even like, you know, kicker cowboy guy. No. It was, but no, I will say, like, she'd sit there and just do a solo where she'd sing a song, awesome. Play the piano, and it was just a spotlight on her, and it's like,
that's cool.
I can respect
absolutely
someone who does music like that.
Absolutely.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. Big time.
All right. Facebook's Brandon Raylor says Lindsay Sterling.
Oh, No. She's a violin player. She's a like a almost like dubstepy classical crossover type of thing. She's kind of famous or popular because she does like video game theme covers, and that was kind of like she has really popular
metal songs or hip hop songs.
metal/hip hop/, but with a violin twist. She's a violin player.
Hmm. All right.
So he must not like, or at least favorite, I guess, maybe would be classical.
Yeah. Travis K says, I'm not a huge fan of rap, modern rap anyway, but while listening to D. Antwood, thanks guys, Pandora randomly played music from Chris Calico. Never heard him. He's got some damn good music and message.
There you go.
Chris Calico.
Just converted someone to rap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jurassic 5. Yeah. This is Jurassic 5.
Listen
dog.
To Jurassic 5. Shaggy from Poodle Slam says, Sturgill Simpson. Country. So he doesn't like country, but he likes Sturgill Simpson. Carlos Castro says Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Samantha Lyon says, I loathe country music, but would exclude Johnny Cash from this general hatred. Tommy Munoz says Joan Baez.
Folk music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was close for me. It was like a singer-songwriter kind of stuff. James Wells says Fred Durst from the genre of terrible music.
There it is.
There you go. Gregory Pierce says Weird Al Yankovic because he can take any style of music I can't stand and make it tolerable.
Yeah.
Brian Powell says Fred Durst wins every time. Yeah. Ross Carter says I hate modern pop country, but that Dirt Road Anthem by Jason Aldean is my jam. Interesting.
You know that song?
I don't know.
Jordan hey, man, fuck you, man.
No, I'm
hey,
man, sure I've probably
heard it. I'm sure I've heard it.
Yeah. He says he hates. Not fuck you, Chuck. I'm talking to Ross Carter. Oh, yeah.
No, and he says he hates modern pop country. He just he likes that song.
That song resonates. Ross,
buy his presents.
It's one of those that I'm sure I've heard at a bar that a fat white girl played.
Yeah.
Or sang at karaoke.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Joey McCormick says Taylor Swift. Pop, country, legs for days. Cesar Portillo says John Mayer from the, quote, crappy white boy blues category. Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah. I hate that. Right, I hate that category, too. Crappy white boy blues.
Sensitive.
Ugh. Alfred Perez says, I'm not a fan of modern pop country, but I love the Highwaymen, classic country supergroup consisting of Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, and Chris Christopherson, Merle Haggard, and Jerry Reed, and the Charlie Daniels Band, Kick-Ass 2. Andy Salinas Garza says, I'm not a country fan, but I love me some Loretta Lynn.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Anthony Barsenia says, I hate country, but I love Ryan Bingham. Never heard of him.
I don't know who
that is. Maggie Castillo Ivan says, Salt and Peppa, Will Smith. I'm not a fan of rap, especially rap from the last 15 years. Salt and Peppa, yeah.
Okay.
Leslie Holt says, Juanes. hate that music. But his songs always get my toes tapping.
Juanes is like that. He's like Sting, but
he's like the Latin Sting.
Latin Sting.
Yeah.
Yeah, very. He sounds like Latin Sting.
Is a fucking lucha libre, man.
That's his move. Oh, it's like, from the top row, the Latin Sting.
You know, oh, it's Latin Sting. Is that the Crow? No, that's Latin Sting. Ryan Timothy Brace says Johnny Cash. He singularly makes country music cool. So I couldn't agree
more, Ryan. That's a good answer.
Leslie Holt says he makes everything cool. He makes you cool for saying that. Oh, talking about Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. Jordan Worth Cobb says, I'm going to say Johnny too. He was the effing man. And Brian Benita says Katy Perry, dance pop. So he likes Katy Perry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think he likes her boobs. I don't know if he likes the music.
I
get behind wardrobe malfunction.
I will watch every video that she has. Yeah. Boobs I can get behind. Yeah. Boobs I can come on.
No. What? No.
You get it, man?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Come on.
Yeah, small knife.
Pocket knife, dude. So, yeah, dude. Pop music, country, parenting, man. Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. Fuck your least favorite kind of music.
Yeah, man. Except that one artist you like.
Yeah.
All right. My topic for this week's edition of Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about not funny stuff. It comes from a scientific journal called Trends in Cognitive Sciences that talks about ways that different sort of researchers are trying to, once again, create empathy in one another. And what they're doing is having people virtually swap bodies and races. The way they're doing this is like they have what's called the rubber hand illusion, where you have a black hand and you sit there while someone paints your actual hand, but you're looking at a black hand being painted. One is there's like a black woman's face that you're watching in a mirror, and they're doing something to your face that is identical to what you're seeing. And finally, there's like a virtual reality Oculus Rift sort of thing where you're in a virtual reality world. And when you're looking into this virtual mirror, you're a black person or a man or a white person.
Like Smack My Bitch Up video, dude.
Well, that no. was yeah, yeah that but was, virtual. Anyway, yeah. So there's all these different sort of trends that they're doing to try to create, once again, empathy on what it's like to be. Last week we talked about the whole gender swap thing. If you could swap with the gender, this one I just wanted to piggyback off of that. Very, very similar question. But once again, it's a lot of science is going on right now about people trying to create ways in which we can virtually be more empathetic to one another, whether it's being in the body of a man or being in the body of a African American or a white person. So that just brings up my topic question, which is, if you could swap bodies with one person, who would it be? It could be anybody. I don't know if we want to open up to any time or just like modern day person. So it's weird
science, not real science.
So we can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
All right. Crap. Then I need to Google somebody really quick.
My answer. I've said it before because I've practiced the virtual penis with this man for years.
Nice. Okay.
And I know it's kind of like an obvious go to, but that's why I had it in my pocket because this is my real. Like, if being John Malkovich was real, mm-hmm. and you know how you kind of in your mind kind of. Everyone fantasizes, and it's almost a reality of like, well, when I win the lottery, this is what's going to happen. Or when I get when I get three wishes, these are the wishes that I'm going to wish. Like it's happening, you know? So if I swap bodies with somebody, it's something I've known for a really long time, and that's Peter North. I would swap with the fucking.
Yeah, you're a big fan.
King Spunk of Peter North. And
King Spunk.
And it's like Load Warrior. That was his actual thing.
Wait, that was?
Yeah, Load Warrior. I know it's super perverted and even possibly kind of gay that I'm a fan of a male porn star.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that he does gay for pay.
Well, he did gay for pay under Mark Ramsey. And I don't want to do it during that time, guys.
No.
I'm talking present day.
Present day.
Peter North.
You get Peter North at his prime.
Because here's the thing with being a fan of a male porn star is the girls change. If I wanted to watch the same female porn star all the time, I would just be a married man. Like, I get it. It's cool. You're a fan of Eva M. Angelina, but I'm sure you watch 20 other different porn stars as well. So why not follow the path of the dick? Spunking on faces all across America.
But here's the thing. And you're just changing. You're swapping bodies, not lives. You're still Larry Garza's life. You're just in a different body.
Wait, what?
Yeah. The question is, if you could swap bodies with one person.
But I would be able to live his life because I would be in Peter North's body. I would be able to go to California. And so, Dakota Sherman Arcs.
And they're like, oh, Peter, you're here for your shoot. Peter. And you're like, yes.
Fuck yeah, I am.
Okay, all right, all right.
Yes, I am.
Who am I coming on?
And they're like, his weird habits. Like, he's like very spoiled and has particular like eating habits.
I was about to say,
who's my pineapple?
Here's your ants on a log, Mr. North.
Where are my bananas and where are my pineapples?
Oh, I forgot today's Tuesday.
And then I would go like, you know what I want today? Raw asparagus.
Oh God.
Jeez.
He's angry. Mr. North is angry.
Oh wait, who's on set shit today? Is that that moose sounding bitch? Because it doesn't like Chloe. And he's a fit guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it would be interesting to just kind of live the life, and also the life of a porn star, of like how, you know, he's treated, even though he's like a star in the porn star arena, like how is he treated as a person? I would just find that interesting. And then, you know, it's just an experience that I would never ever have. Right. I know what it's like to be on stage. I know what it's like to, you know, perform in front of a bunch of people. I know what it's like to be in like fancy pants places, but I don't know what it's like to fuck on film and everyone be okay with it and not have to worry about a hairy
butt. That's hilarious, is that you're using his body, but you're in your sound mind and you just kind of assume that you're just going to show up and they're going to let you in
on a
normal business day.
No, I'm going to be like, hey, where's my schedule? You know, I'm not going to make it weird or whatever.
You're going to have to kill the real Peter North.
Oh, wait.
No, you'll swap bodies.
Swap.
This is vice versa.
Oh, my God. My life sucks now.
So then Peter North will be in my body?
Yes. Hell yeah, man. Yes. Hell yeah.
And
it'd
be like, finally, man. Oh, this giant cock's been pissing me off. And now this kind of heavy cock's okay. I don't have to worry about shaving and look at all this.
Coming so much.
Yeah. I could just like not have sex and just enjoy television.
Yeah.
And he just jerks off in the shower. In your body.
He's like, ah, this is the life.
And then when he comes, like, wow, man, this dude's got a lot of jizz, man. He ought to be in porn. And so then when we swap bodies, he's going to call me, and then I'm going to be in porn.
You're both going to live the life.
And
man.
I'm gonna have my porn
That's
line
a
called.
Movie that needs yeah. to be made.
My porn line's going to be called With the Shirt On. So it's just like all this pornos of me with a shirt on, just sticking my dick out of my briefs.
You see your fucking gut hanging out with your shirt.
You don't even drop
the underwear. You just pull it out the little.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want people to see my butthole.
So you have your boxers and t-shirt on
and socks.
That's the weirdest line. Did that be a consistent
that's average
thing.
Joe kind of
because
thing,
then dudes would be like, oh, dude, you know what? I'm gonna fuck you.
Exactly.
Have you seen
I'm
it?
Just like that guy.
I'm just like this dude. I don't want to see some. Sort of think about it. You want to see some dude's balls? He's covered up. You want to see a guy's asshole? You just want to, you know, just see
that's
his
like
dick going in
and shit. And it's like, no,
man. So yeah, dude.
Okay.
All right.
Peter North.
What's for dinner at your house when he swaps? So what's he having for dinner that night?
If you guys want to see what Peter North looks like, just go to Google. And no, just type Peter North. Because he makes really funny faces. So just type Peter North facial on Google with the safe search off.
Yeah, I don't think anybody
would that. Well, I mean, just see what happens.
If you type Peter North facial, I don't think they're going to picture his face.
Like, Chuck Vann's radio personality suggests.
All right. My answer, I had to look him up. I forgot his name, is Makoto Nagano.
Fuck yeah, yeah,
he
would.
Is one of the first ever champion of Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
The obstacle course thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
So this is a man who can physically do anything. Like, I want to, like, I just imagine walking through the world and seeing it through his eyes of, you know what? If I wanted to scale that wall right now, I could. You know what? If I wanted to jump, like, basically those parkour guys from rooftop to rooftop, I could do that successfully and easily. I could pull myself up. I would just be running around the city, climbing trees, like living an unbelievably active life of being able to do all of these things. Cause like, I just think it'd be amazing to have that ability to be like, hey guys, what's going on? I'm going to take off now. And then just like literally jump over a fence or like hop at, and I'd freaking be the coolest at parties, freaking doing handstands, walking on my hands, freaking doing one arm pull ups. I don't know why I do that.
And he's a fisherman, so you'd get a lot of life in the sea.
Yeah, that's right. They always show him on the boat.
I forgot what his profession was. Yeah, he's a fisherman. Yeah, he's a fucking.
And a poor guy in your body's going to like try to do it and just.
Yeah, he's like, I can't even do a pull up and my left leg's all jacked up.
Well, at least I could just hang out here and bone a bunch of chicks.
No, he kind of looks like a Japanese Peter North.
He's not even Peter North.
He kind of. Think right about there. It. He looks like a Japanese.
I don't know,
Peter North. Maybe a little bit.
Road Warrior.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pronounced correctly.
But he would be over there.
God damn it.
He'd be in Japan with my body. I'm here in his body.
What? Oh, okay. Wait.
You're not in Japan?
No.
That's just breaking vice versa, like father, like son rules.
Okay. So I have to be in his.
Yeah,
I
wherever think, he is.
Yeah. All right. So,
I guess. Yeah. Good luck. He'd be okay then. He'd be cool.
They have KFC over there.
I think he'd be all right. He'd be happy. I'd be happy too.
He'd wake up in his apartment and he'd be like,
Colossus action figure. Yeah. Hell yeah, Ryan Timothy Brace.
Yeah, Colossus. Oh, thank you.
God damn it. No.
Thank you, Lion Timothy Blaze.
Harry's the worst, most racist person ever.
Colossus. Whoa, what's Brad Cousins?
Public accent.
Riga, come on, man.
Exactly.
Pocket
no,
ice.
I would love to, but seriously, I walk around.
God damn it.
I walk around and I think it'd just be so cool at any place, especially where I work, to just be able to. God, it'd be so cool to just climb stuff. I don't know. I'm a kid, I guess. That's my answer. Makoto Nagano.
Yeah, that's a fucking good answer. Mine.
All right, what now?
Here we go.
He's on a string of horrible answers to specifically my questions, I think. Like, I think it's all my questions.
Well, I understand. I would trade bodies with the international martial arts superstar Sammo Hung.
Yeah!
who's amazing. He's amazing. He's one of my favorite people ever, period. Not even like, oh, martial arts. He's one of my favorite people ever. He has this amazing backstory. Him and Jackie Chan's backstory is very interesting. The reason I laughed is because we are talking about swapping bodies, not swapping minds or anything like that. But Sammo Hung's this round bowl of a man. He is a bowl, chili bowl, rounded man. And that's like his calling card. He's this very round, now older man, but he's very physically capable to do amazing things. So the way I thought about it was that if I swapped bodies, I still wouldn't have the knowledge to how to use that body. But maybe how does that feel? How does that feel to be physically fit but still round and heavy?
He still has
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
He still has a regimen. He has a regimen. He still follows it, but he keeps himself round and healthy.
Oh, it's like those offensive linemen who play for like 360 pounds, but they can run like a they can run a 5 second 40, and they're incredibly good shape. Like that would be amazing to know what like.
So I think that would be the what the feeling would be, even though I wouldn't be able to do the things that he do because it's just body, not mind. But just the feeling of what does that feel like to have a body of that stature, but feel physically capable and physically fit. Because the guy can still, he's been in some movies in the past 5 years, and he's still incredible.
He still move.
He could still move, and he still looks great doing his stuff. So, I'd swap bodies with Sammo Hung. And he'd be over here, and I think it's same thing. I wonder if he would be able to do stuff in my body. I wonder that would
be. He just knows how to use the muscles properly.
Yeah, but no, but he'd be sore. But
he would probably be thinking to himself, man, I wish I could switch my arms for my legs.
If only I could have arms for legs and legs for arms.
Then things would be terrific.
No, that's not even. No, God damn it. No. So, yes, there you go, Sammo.
Chuck Van.
Surprisingly, I would have to say I would switch bodies with Keith Richards.
Whoa.
Okay, yeah.
Good answer.
Interesting.
Because Keith Richards. He's like, what, like 170 now?
Something like that.
This dude's been doing heroin
carbon dating on
this
him.
Guy's, yeah, this guy's
he's somewhere between 170 and 150
years old. This guy's been doing drugs
old.
And booze for how many years? And he's not dead yet?
See,
so it's like 60s, this guy's part 50s? Of the Illuminati. He's probably sold his soul to the devil. So
he is a true vampire.
He's immortal. So it's like,
what it feel like?
Or you know what? I think it is, man. It's to me, your body just gets immune to things, and when
the body's an amazing thing,
and so if you are consistent with it, because I think when people like quit smoking, you know, that's when they get really sick. Their body's just, it's not happening to them anymore. You go, your body goes through withdrawals with drugs.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right.
It's the same. Like tomorrow, yeah. Cold turkey, I'd be like punching people.
Exactly. Yeah. So with Keith Richards, he just didn't stop, but he just probably knew his limit.
You know, it's like those guys who are immune to like snake venom and stuff like that. Like,
okay, here's the line. Get to there.
Yeah,
it's not like, over it.
Exactly. And he just, his whole life just probably, I just have to do drugs all the time. Keith Richards.
Then he'd wake up in my body and be like, God, this sucks.
Yeah, let's this get sucks fucked bad, up. No, man. He wouldn't. He would wake up, all right.
It's like, all right, I got like a body that's like 40 years young now. All right.
Fresh, pair of fresh legs.
You will fuck your body up so bad.
And he's like, I can smell.
Your body to the fucking ground.
I could smell.
He's like, all right, I can have sex and actually come, and it's not sawdust. All right.
Give me shelter. I'm Keith Richards.
You like my costume? I came as beef jerky.
That was like an Australian accent.
I don't know.
Paul Rogan as Keith Richards,
a package of beef jerky.
Hello, I'm Keith Richards.
Keith Richards, you like my costume of bloody beef jerky?
Geico. Yeah, Keith Richards. Good answer, dude. Nice. And then you can play the fuck out of the guitar. Do you know how to play guitar?
I don't.
You can have Chuck Berry cussing you out. Have you seen that footage of they did this concert together and Keith Richards put it together because he's a big Chuck Berry fan, right? Obviously the old blues influence of the Rolling Stones, right? And he had adjusted Chuck Berry's amp for television so it could sound good, and Chuck Berry fucking cussed him out. There's footage of it where he's like, who touched my amp? Who touched my settings? And Keith's like, well, it's for TV. You know, you got to set it differently. But no, you do not touch Chuck Berry's amp. This is what Chuck Berry saying. It's like,
he referred to himself in the third person.
Fuck yeah. He's Kanye West, dude, of fucking that time. He's like, I put cameras in toilets to watch women's b-holes. You don't fucking touch my amp. And Chuck Berry's like, oh, we'll fucking touch your amp there, governor.
Oh, shit. Wow. All right. Facebook answers. Brandon Raylor says Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. All right.
He won his body. All right.
Stacy Medina says Regan. She wants to be me. He's the luckiest ever. Would love to live that carefree life, if only for one day. Be pretty awesome. It's pretty amazing. Travis K says,
shut up.
It's pretty funny. Shut up. I hope you like sweating.
I hope you like smelling like pepper.
And sweating.
He's the candy man of gnats.
Oh, yeah.
Because of bees?
Yeah.
My victim. Okay, Travis K says, is the change temporary? If so, Bill Gates. First, I'd write as Bill Gates a big, fat, philanthropic check to me, Travis, and then I'd get rid of Windows 8 and bring back Windows XP. Good God. And then I'd tell the world that Xbox One was a mistake. Jeez.
Nice.
Rikes.
Shaggy from Puto Slam says he'd switch bodies with Kenan Thompson.
Of course he would. Loves Keenan Thompson.
Richard Morgan says, I'm sticking with Richard Morgan. It's been a success so far.
It's a
Samantha Lyon says, Zuzana Light. Does anybody know who Zuzana Light is? Someone Google her now.
Okay. Zuzana Light.
Z-U-Z-A-N-A Light.
Zusha?
Zusha.
She got killed, right?
I think so.
Fuck.
But isn't there like five of them, though?
I think
Zuzana
so.
Light, I think there's like five of them.
Zuzana Light, formerly known as Zuzana Spears, is a Czech fitness instructor. Very fit.
All right, very fit.
Stop the insane.
Tommy Munoz says, sure, I could be Brad Pitt or F. Murray Abraham, but... F. Murray Abraham, hell yeah, young F. Murray Abraham. But if I could be anybody, I'd be the 20-year-old me again. I could relive some awesome years and change my future by fixing my mistakes. Gregory Pierce says, Doctor Who's David Tennant. As a rabid being able to take over David's life would be so awesome. I'd get to hang out on the set of Broadchurch and go home to the fifth Doctor's daughter, Georgia Moffat.
All right.
Sweet. It would be the best of Time Lords and the worst of Time Lords. Good God.
Yeah, nice.
The best of Time Lords and the worst.
I love it.
Ross Carter says, can I pick my dog just for the day? I just don't want to go to work tomorrow. Sure, Ross.
Yeah, man. That's you can listen to that stupid fucking song you like.
Oh, come on. So you get one, you give him a pass, and you're going to fucking neg on him?
No, hey, man. Try watch the racist comments.
Joe McCormick says, Obama. I'd make some real unpopular decisions. Oh, Brian Powell says, that kid with the abs. Well, some kid has abs, apparently. Reagan. Wait, no, yeah. James Wells says Obama. I'd make some real popular decisions. Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Shaggy Yaw from Putislam also says, or Obama. I'd make some popular decisions and some unpopular decisions, including hiring Kenan Thompson as comedy czar.
Wow.
And Alfred Pettis says, Rob Liefeld, if I'm going to be an untalented comic book hack, I might as well get paid millions for it.
God,
and he puts a picture of a really horribly drawn
Captain America. We all love that Captain America.
Cesar Portillo says, anybody tall.
Aww.
And Jordan Worth Cobb says, Mark Wade. Who's Mark Wade?
But what if Keith Richards is constantly in pain?
He's an Eisner Award-winning American comic book writer, known for working on DC Comics like The Flash, Kingdom Come, and Superman.
Hell yeah, bro.
Or maybe Mark Wade, retired American professional basketball player.
Shit.
I want to be Will Purdue.
By the
T-Rings, motherfucker, dude.
He was 88 with the Golden State Warriors and the 90 with the Mavericks.
Nice. Yeah, fucking. I'll take the Detlef Shrimp Alfredo. Yeah, man.
Yeah, swapping bodies, changing perspectives, being empathetic to other genders and races. That's not funny.
Well, Chuck, thank you so much for joining us at the... Now, this is your first time on Public Access, and I'm sure you're well aware right now that this is an educational program.
Oh, very.
Yes. Yeah. We try to teach people things, and more importantly, we try to teach ourselves things. So at the end of the podcast, we asked our guests and we asked ourselves, what made you come to learn something? What did you come to know during this podcast? So we'll let you stew on that for a little bit. And Jess, what did you come to know?
I come to know, whether it's fact or fiction, who will know? I've come to know today that Robert Trujillo is indeed related to many people, including possibly somebody in this room, maybe cousins with the basis of Metallica, former basis of Infectious Grooves and Facious, so Suicidal Tendencies. Possibly. I'm going to take that as fact. It's fact. I learned that. I came to know that today.
I came to know that Ryan Timothy Brace is not a murderer.
What? He's No one thought that ever.
For a fucking second, dude.
No. But also, him sending us gifts doesn't mean he's not a murderer.
Oh, call it. Touche. All
right?
Here's the thing. I learned that Ryan Timothy Brace is a very, very nice man.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Who cared about our likes, who gave very thoughtful presents from another country, and that I am very, very appreciative of. And this is going on the shelf with a lot of things. And so I learned, Ryan Timothy Brace, you're my friend.
And could be a Canadian OJ.
Yeah.
Could be. He's firmly... establishing once again that Canadian people are really nice. They just are. Because we also had the Canadian snacks that my couch surfer left, remember?
Yeah.
Good guy.
Coffee weights.
Okay, well, that was going to be my answer again, damn it. I want to say that maybe one year I need to be Fat Mac, as I came to know that I need to be Fat Mac for Halloween. And it'll just be me and a wife beater with a beard.
And you got to bring a garbage bag full of old burritos. And
done. I can do that.
I was singing for the next time we go to a Comic-Con that we should all cosplay.
As Sunny characters?
No, as Leon the Professional. And that I would be Leon because I look like fucking Jean Reno. You should be Gary Oldman with a khaki on khaki. And Jess should be the plant. And so
I'm going to wear a pig costume.
Then if we do that, I want to be, what's her name, Natalie Portman.
Okay, well, Jess will be Gary Oldman, and then
I think we should still have the plant.
Okay, so yeah, Leon,
that would be awesome.
You would rock Natalie Portman.
What does she wear? Like a skirt and stuff.
She wears a choker and chain,
like a sundress.
Sundress.
Yeah. If all I need is that wig and a violin case, dude, and I'll be freaking hardcore Natalie Portman.
It's a very 90s sundress with like the Doc Martin boots.
Dude, I can freaking, I'll rock the hell out of that.
Well, and then I'll be a plant and or
the pig. I think the plant would be great.
Yeah,
plant would be fucking boss.
Why'd you think of that right now?
We were, because he brought up cosplay, and I've been meaning to tell you guys that forever, that I was watching Leon, and I was like, that is our next fucking cosplay.
Yeah, we go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, because I have everything for Leon. I mean, he just dresses like me.
I can go to a thrift store. Glasses. I can go to a thrift store and totally get whatever I need for her. I just need that wig.
Y'all see my costume skills. I can be totally a
plant. We'll buy you a plant. We'll make it happen.
Fake fucking elephant ears and shit, dude. Yeah, that's you, dude.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So I came to know Fat Mac. Well, now, maybe if we go to Comic-Con all 3 days, I'll do three different things. Fat Mac, Colossus.
Last day.
Guts. I got
to
be Guts still,
Yeah.
And, Matilda from...
Matilda!
I'm totally down for that.
That's awesome.
You can rock Gary Oldman.
I want to do Matilda. If he's going to be the plant, I want to be Matilda.
All right, dude.
All right, sorry.
We're on trio. It's going to work as a team.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Chuck, what did you come to know today?
I came to know that Larry wants to be the king of Bukkake. Peter North.
One man Bukkake, dude.
One man. And also, we've probably made the most Paul Hogan references that's been made in the last 10 years.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I came to know.
Last 20 years, dude.
Exactly. It's been a while.
Crikey, since Wolf Creek. I think Wolf Creek was the last fucking
I think we said Underdog's name probably the most amount of times, and other than the pledge drive where he'd pop in.
Yeah. We're at 5,000. That go weird.
Damn it.
Off the rails. Off the rails. Last segment. Off the rails.
That was a fucking Jesus Christ air kick flip off the rails grind nolly.
What are you talking about?
Chuck, where can people follow you and friend you and everything on social media?
Follow me Twitter, Instagram at Chuck_Vans.
Yes.
Random ramblings.
Yeah. Funny, cool, awesome shit. Chuck, thank you so much for being our guest. Jess, do we have anything going on?
Thank you for having it. Oh, man. Oh, fuck yeah. As always, you guys want to thank y'all for listening to us at oneofus.net. We highly appreciate it. That's so fucking cool. Thanks a whole bunch. You can follow us on Twitter at ComediaGogo, hashtag public access. We have a Facebook group, our Happy Campers page, where you can answer and participate in our weekly topics. It's lots of fun. And while you're there, you can take a look and gander and share all of our Throwback Thursday videos that we're throwing up. These classic old nuggets of total fun that just cracked me up.
They're pants.
Like Edgar Poopy Pants.
I was like, really? All right.
I love it. It's just so old school shit. If you're an old school CAG fan and you want to see something, just email me, message me, whatever. Let me know what tickles your fancy and I'll make a little quick snippet. Also, we're very, very busy writing and coming up with some new short stuff. We have a great project in the works, and we also are gearing up for our Night in Pinch ASA Fiesta show coming up in April. We have some new videos for that, just a new live show for you guys in the Texas, San Antonio, Austin area. Please come and check it out. We'll give you more details as we get closer to that. And thanks a bunch.
And always go to the Blind Tiger Comedy Club every Friday at midnight for the free midnight showcase, guys. It's been really, really good. Headliners from all over the country dropping in to do some time. You'd be surprised at the big names that we've had. February 20th, J.Y. Cotton, public access favorite, will be recording his CD. So if you guys would like to go, please let us know. You will be more than happy to seat you there. And also, February 27th, I'm going to be in Paris, Texas, headlining there. So if any of you guys are in the Oklahoma, North Texas area, February 27th, I'm going to be headlining. Also in New Mexico, March 3rd and 4th with Jesse Pangilinan. And guys, it's going to be a lot of fun there. Never been to New Mexico. So fucking rock me, roll me, jackal me off. Guys, we appreciate you listening to another edition of Comedy Gogo's Public Access. Thank you, Ryan Timothy Brace, for these awesome guests.
Absolutely. Fucking yes.
And thank you, Chuck Vans, for finally being a guest. Years in the making. Meant the world. And hopefully you don't get fired from your local radio.
I know. I think I might. I might after this.
Well, you know, co-host for us. We don't get paid. Actually, we had a sponsor once. Elite Vapory. So, guys, thank you so much once again. This is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll fuck you later.